Thanks everyone. My name's Steve Kennelly. I'm Director of IC Independent Consulting, and together with
Mark Ager with the Gulf of Maine Research Institute.
So I'm going to present on a thanks very much to the Council for having us along today to talk about our recent project that that was funded by the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation to look at the implementation and the improvement of electronic reporting and monitoring in the groundfish fisheries of New England. We did this project, it's been pretty fast. We've only recently, is this going to work? We got this project up the end of around November last year, so it's been a pretty quick turnaround to get this project done. It involves an independent examination of the work done that remains to be done to implement a state-of-the-art electronic reporting and electronic monitoring sort of program in New England. Now, what we mean basically by electronic reporting, this is going to be a problem. Right? There it is. But electronic reporting, or ER, involves the basically fishermen filling out their VTRs, the vessel trip reports, instead of using paper, by electronic means. And in New England, by and large, this has involved the Flounders program over the past few years. Electronic report monitoring, however, tends to be referred to the use of camera technology to monitor operations on deck, and it tends to be used throughout the world, and also in New England it's looking at using it as a validation tool, as a means to validate the information that comes on VTRs and EVTRs. However, electronic monitoring is not just about that, it also involves the use of other sensors and any sort of electronic monitoring involving sensors such as that can be attached to scales and net drums, etc., to monitor operations on vessels. The task of our project was to do an independent review and synthesis of past and present work, look at the current and future stakeholder needs for ER and EM data, and develop some sort of roadmap to achieve a technologically based monitoring tool or monitoring system for this region. Firstly, we established an oversight group to assist us with this project in terms of a group to bounce our work off and to get feedback from. The oversight group comprised representatives from this council, from GARFO, from the Science Centre, from the Marine Coast Fishermen's Association, the Nature Conservancy, and the Commercial Fisheries Research Foundation. The stages of our project involve, firstly, to collect and examine whatever data we can and information we could get up front, and basically that led to us to summarise current and recent initiatives that's occurred throughout the world in this field, as well as the 24 efforts that have focused on New England. We developed an inception report within a fairly quick period turnaround time to get feedback from the oversight group that provided some preliminary findings and a potential way forward. And then we did the next stage, which was the main bulk of the work, which involved an intensive periods of interviews and meetings throughout the region with as many relevant stakeholders as we could late last year. And this involved going to meetings when we could, when there were groups of people talking, getting together and talking about ER and EM, but mainly it involved individual meetings with fishermen and various stakeholders throughout the region on their boats. And here's a little picture of me interviewing a fisherman through the camera, being caught by the lens on his boat. So it was, and you'll see that we're pretty rugged up there because I come from a part of the world that's not quite as cold as here, so it was a little bit of a shock coming over here doing this stuff, I've got to tell you. It's not as cold as this. Okay, over that period, we interviewed 79 people from all those different groups, a lot of fishermen, a lot of people from the government, electronic monitoring providers, NGOs, staff from this council and members of this council, state governments, and an academic. Now, from all that work, we basically assimilated lots of different ideas and concepts and themes that we were able to sort of partition into the pros and the cons of electronic reporting and electronic monitoring. That is the things that are the assisting in implementation and the things that are hampering implementation throughout this region. And basically, in terms of electronic reporting, the pros, the advantages, and the things that are assisting in implementation involve the following. But it's a basic societal trend that people are, more and more aspects of day-to-day life are becoming paperless, and it's just being accepted as the way people are operating now. Many fishermen who use the electronic reporting stuff, the very good Flounders program, feel it's just easier than paper reporting. It reduces the need for data entry staff, it avoids double handling of data and any associated data entry errors, it avoids problems with trying to decipher different handwriting styles, and obvious errors that occur in data entry can be flagged immediately and automatically by these sorts of systems, and it can provide a rapid way to allocate, for example, quotas to fishermen so that they can adjust their practices accordingly. It also can assist with things like traceability and eco-labelling initiatives that often require some sort of rapid reporting methodologies, and it also is consistent with various government plans that have recently come out, such as the Science Centre's Strategic Science Plan and the government's Electronic Technology Implementation Plan of a few years ago. In terms of disadvantages or things that are hampering the rollout of electronic reporting in the region, we found that the main electronic reporting system used here, that the Flounders program, back in its day when it first started up a few years ago, it was state of the art. But it involves a laptop on each vessel in the wheelhouse, and also significant on vessel support. And there were only sufficient funds really to outfit only a relatively small subset of fishermen with that technology. It's probably not as easy as it should be, or what current technology has developed into, where especially for some fishing methods, where it involves running back and forth from the wheelhouse to enter data into the laptop. Data transmission relies on memory sticks or staff downloading the data personally or captains taking the laptops home rather than using more modern methods such as Wi-Fi, cellular or satellite transmission. Although there are, there are definitely developments in that area where Wi-Fi networks are being established at docks and various other places to assist in this. It's fair to say that some captains are just less comfortable with computers than others, and are not able to use the technology. And that's the way of nature. People just aren't familiar with it, aren't comfortable with this stuff, and that's the way they are. And also, it's fair to say that a lot of fishermen consider that the data that comes from this work is not as fully used as it should be in terms of routine analyses by scientists and by managers. Some of the Now, with electronic monitoring, the camera work, some of the advantages, and these are advantages that exist not just in New England, but throughout the world, where a lot of places are now looking at camera technology to monitor fisheries. One of the main reasons that government or agencies look at using electronic monitoring is costs, and where people believe and that it should basically intuitively cost less to have cameras operating on a vessel than having a human out there to collect the similar information. It removes things like safety concerns for the observer, for the crew and for the vessel, in terms of having a person perhaps unfamiliar with the vessel being on board can compromise safe work practices. It decreases crowding, additional accommodations, equipment and victualling on board a vessel, because you've just got basically little cameras, little lenses stuck around the place instead of having a human there. It reduces logistics with allocating, deploying, meeting, loading and delivering observers. And in the northeast here, you have the PTNS system. So in that sense, by having camera technology on board, you could reduce the need for that. You have the potential when camera technologies are used throughout a fleet to cover greater spatial and temporal scales than is possible with more limited coverage that would occur from a limited observer program. And so that would lead to less uncertainty around the data that's produced from such a program. It can also increase the quantity of data about rare events, such as interactions with protected species. Camera technology can't do other things for protected species. It can't take samples, for example. There's no way cameras will ever take biological samples. Well, not in our lifetime. But the quantity of data certainly can be increased by the widespread use of this technology throughout entire fleets. And also using electronic monitoring removes issues concerning observer bias. Other advantages, camera images can provide a longer term record compared to the memory of a human. It can provide multiple sets of eyes throughout a vessel simultaneously compared to one set of eyes. It also allows for additional cameras to be used by fishermen. Once you have the system installed on a vessel, and I've seen this in other parts of the world, where captains and crews would like to have an additional camera, for example, set up in the engine room to monitor a faulty gauge or a dodgy valve or whatever. You know, you just monitor that from the wheelhouse instead of having to have someone downstairs, down the bottom. Camera images can't be easily modified or misinterpreted. And currently, in the North, in New England at least, fishermen using electronic monitoring on all their trips are permitted access to fish in some areas that are closed to others, and can fish multiple gear types on the same trip in some instances. EM may also facilitate the use of individual discard rates rather than using an assumed discard rate throughout the sector. And also, many fishermen told us that they see it as an inarguable way to prove their claims of higher biomasses of certain species. In the past, I guess this has been called anecdotal or unsubstantiated information, whereas, you know, when you have video footage of, for example, large catches of Gulf of Maine cod or whatever, then, you know, they see that as an inarguable proof of those claims. Electronic monitoring systems should only get better in the near future, more efficient, quicker and cheaper, whereas the efficiency of human observer programs will probably remain static and probably increase in price as wages increase with CPI increases. The costliest aspect of electronic monitoring involves the human review of the video, and where in most cases where electronic monitoring is used, it's used as a validation tool, simply to validate the information that comes from VTRs and electronic VTRs. And usually that involves around about 10% of review. So it's like the threat there of being caught not providing accurate data is enough to make the data quite accurate in terms of how fishermen report. We've noticed in Australia when we put our program out recently, we had a massive increase in the accuracy of VTRs once the cameras were put in place with just 10% review of video. Anyway, in any case, the cost associated with the human-based review of video may decrease in the near future as there's been some rapid developments in automatic review of video footage using machine learning applications. It also, like electronic reporting, can assist with traceability and eco-labelling initiatives, and it's also consistent with those government plans that I mentioned before. Some of the disadvantages with electronic monitoring, and there's a few pages of these, some of the things that are hampering implementation throughout this region that came out of our interviews. The first one that came out a lot from talking to people was the choke species issue. This choke stocks issue where cameras, when they're on board boats, can record discards of choke species on all trips, which would eventually exhaust quotas for such species and effectively stop the fishermen from fishing for species that they have high quotas for. This is a big issue in certain parts of this region, and it came home really strongly. The second strongest thing that people would tell us about in terms of hampering electronic monitoring is basic privacy concerns. People just are a little bit sensitive about having Big Brother on their private property, on their place of work, having cameras looking at them all the time, whether they're doing things legally, illegally. It's just that presence of having cameras. I think society generally is like that, but have got used to it, where you have pretty much cameras looking at you all the time now. But it's still there. I mean, and people have really legitimate concerns about that. And I think it's pretty natural. Currently, the cost incentives around using EM, which I said before, is one of the main reasons why people look at why agencies look at implementing EM. They're less apparent here because the full costs of observer programs here are not incurred by the fishing industry, at least not yet. In other parts of the world, they are incurred fully, but at the moment they're subsidised by government. So that the cost incentive, if you like, is not quite there, and it's also difficult at the moment to compare the true costs of observer programs versus an EM, what an EM system would look like here, because there's not a lot of clarity around what that system would look like, and so there's not a direct comparison of those costs. Although there are initiatives occurring as we speak. I think there's some work coming out in the next couple of months that will provide that sort of information. There's also a general lack of understanding about what about current EM efforts are in the region, and what electronic monitoring, what cameras can and cannot do in terms of data provision. It's also fair to say that fishermen see an inconsistent message about the use and the utility of electronic monitoring from GARFO and the Science Centre regarding EM, and that came out from a hell of a lot of fishermen that we spoke to. There's also issues concerning the identification of certain species using cameras, such as the red versus white hake. It's pretty hard to tell those apart if you're not a human, if you're not a trained scientific observer. Cameras can't take biological samples and probably never will, at least not in our time. There are problems with estimating catches in high volume mixed species fisheries using camera technology. Although that's getting better, but it does require changes in on deck work practices in terms of how the fish are displayed, etc. There's also issues and problems, well, not problems, but just issues about how to incorporate electronic monitoring data into the infrastructure that's designed for observer. For observer data, and how to streamline that sort of the utility of the data that comes from electronic monitoring. Now, in New England, there's two basic sort of projects that are occurring with electronic monitoring involving the audit project and a maximum retention project, which are sort of slightly different. But what happens with the audit project is that it mainly focuses on boats with low discards, whereas the maximum retention project focuses on vessels with higher discards, and it has, at the moment, much smaller participation than the audit EM project. So that's hampering implementation across the board. And it's also fair to say that some fishermen are just comfortable with the current system, but involves only a relatively small amount of at-sea monitors coverage rather than a potential 100% monitoring that could occur under electronic monitoring. Another issue that comes up with the use of camera technology is estimating weights on board vessels, where using the electronic monitoring currently looked at here doesn't use sensors on scales, which is used in other parts of the world, but just basically sticks with cameras. And so what happens is that fishermen have to identify, count, and lay individual fish out on a measuring strip in front of a camera so that lengths can be later estimated by a technician in the lab, and then length weight keys are used to convert that to total weights. And that's a fairly clunky way of estimating weights on board a vessel rather than just directly measuring weights. However, the corollary of having this sort of data that we got from one of the population dynamics scientists at Woods Hole was that they were very interested in the length data that this produces, because length data on these sort of fish, on discarded fish, is really useful to have, especially at the numbers and scale at which is occurring throughout the electronic monitoring pilot projects, where you can cover grounds and areas and times and get length frequency data on these species that you otherwise wouldn't get. So that was a pretty significant positive that just came out of our talking to some of the guys down at Woods Hole. Some of the disadvantages about this stuff is that there's some concerns about the robustness of the equipment, where cameras handling the conditions out there. And there's also some national issues, such as policies around data storage, the legal custody of data, and ownership of video. And fishermen are concerned about that some of the footage could be used in media campaigns by environmental groups or whoever, particularly around protected species interactions, even if their interactions with those species are below limits, so are below allowable levels, just having that footage around can lead to significant media campaigns. We've seen that in many parts of the world. And finally, the image recognition work to facilitate that automatic review I talked about. There's a bit of work to be done on that. As I said, it's not imminent. There's still a lot of places in the world working on this, but it requires images of thousands of fish, like tens of thousands of images, to be able to get those machines to learn how to identify species. And the Bigelow and other projects in New England are currently doing just that. Now, out of all that, so we just tried to distill all that information into some key points, and they're characterised by into a few different sort of subheadings, if you like, where we tried to distill this work down. And basically, they came into various categories, such as the overall strategy associated with implementing electronic reporting and electronic monitoring in the region. Basically, electronic reporting is a hell of a lot easier to implement than electronic monitoring. And in hindsight, in an ideal world, you'd have a simple-to-use, one-size-fits-all, really easy, slick electronic reporting system in place. Everyone's using it. The fishermen are comfortable with it. The agencies are comfortable with it, and it's well in place. And you'd have that in place before you go and try and put camera technology over the top of it to validate that data. So you get everyone used to this sort of electronic world, not just the fishermen, but as importantly, the agencies that use that data, so that everything's streamlined and the data are rolling in before you start putting cameras on boats to validate that data. And so, you know, that's the ideal situation, and where you'd have that stuff, the electronic monitoring, coming in over the top of it as a validation tool. And therefore, that would lead to a truly modern system that combines electronic monitoring as well as other with electronic reporting, as well as things like VMS and other things that and trip hails, etc., could all be wrapped up in the one system. But such a KISS approach, keep it simple approach, didn't really happen here. So what we have is a situation where there's various groups trying to implement electronic monitoring over the top of an ER system that itself is not quite implemented. It needs a little bit of work. But that's all hindsight. Hindsight's always 20/20, and we need to move on, and we do so in a way forward that we think might work. There's also issues around leadership issues, clarity around who should lead all this, and there's also concerns about the relative use of electronic monitoring data in terms of used in management and also in science. There's also technical issues, categories of technical issues that came out of it in terms of hardware and software robustness, the measurements of weights, as I mentioned, and issues around data storage, data transfer, and that video review automation. Program design, there's various issues surrounding the appropriate design for an electronic monitoring program here, whether it's the audit approach, maximum retention approach, or more likely a hybrid of both. Issues around incentives and costs. We talked about how there's quota allocations, incentives, access to various areas and gear types, but the estimates of costs requires work, clearly, and there's various initiatives occurring at the moment by NOAA to try to hone in on what the various costs implications are of using cameras, etc., on boats. Again, as I mentioned before, there's privacy concerns about how to deal with Big Brother invading one's workspace and how to get that sort of get over that hump. And then there's outreach and education needs in terms of explaining to people about what can and cannot be done with this sort of technology. And then, of course, finally, there's the choke species reporting issue, the choke species thing, which is, you know, which is the hardest, probably most difficult thing. If there was a simple solution to that, it would already be in place. And a lot of people come up with some ideas when we were talking about this while we were circulating around, and none of them were great, but there was definitely some potential there for consideration. So in terms of a way forward, we came up with a bunch of steps that we thought might work in terms of trying to implement a fairly modern way to monitor fisheries here. But the first step would be to establish some sort of lead group fairly soon, like as soon as possible, to get a strategic planning thing underway, to try and do this strategically so that you have you don't have that situation where you're trying to implement electronic monitoring over the top of an electronic reporting system that's itself not embedded. And we believe that the group should be run by the government, because the government is ultimately responsible for monitoring the public's natural resources and has been since 465 AD, and it includes, and it should include representation, therefore, from the government agencies, the states, the fishing industry, the sectors, technical experts. That I think it's really important to have some of these IT, like, for want of a better word, geeks involved in this, so they can, because there's some really rapid stuff going on in this field, as we saw yesterday. There's some amazing things out there that weren't there 2 years ago, and you know, who knows what's going to be in 2 or 3 years' time, who knows, as well as NGOs. And we think that this sort of way forward, this is only a plan for the next few years. You can't, with technological advancements the way they are, you can't possibly have any sort of way forward or prediction about where a plan for the next 10 years. You just don't know where we're going to be in 10 years. But in the next few years, this is the sort of thing that could be done. We think that this group should then facilitate the development of a pretty simplified, easy-to-use phone or tablet-based ER system. And they're around. There's various. One only has to go to the grocery store these days and can see the way that technology is and how that could be applied on the back deck of a boat to identify, to record your information. Perhaps the safest e-trip system could be, is a sort of model that we're talking about here, you know. But as importantly as developing that, we also need to fine-tune the data handling and analytical systems that's used by government and by others to manage these fisheries in order to accommodate the data that gets generated from that system. Then the next step would be to implement this system throughout the region, noting that there's going to be exceptions. There's some fishermen just not going to be able to use this stuff, and they're going to need to use paper-based reporting, and we're just going to have to accept that, and that's the nature of the beast. Next, we should, while those steps around ER are occurring, there should be continuation in developing the audit-based and maximum retention systems that are being looked at here, where the audit system should focus on developing a program that requires a fairly modest amount of video review, such that it's, you know, low enough that it provides the cost incentive, but also there's enough video review to enable fishermen that would incentivise fishermen to fill out their trip reports accurately, and it should be done for as many gear types as possible. And the maximum retention project should focus on becoming more of an optimal retention system where the cameras are used for monitoring on vessels that have high volume multi-species catches, and in this sense some dockside monitoring and human observer work would probably be also be required to augment that. And also continue to resolve the other issues that are occurring with electronic monitoring, especially concerning data handling and the analytical systems to use that data and incorporate that data into science and management, and also look at the relative costs as well as the privacy and choke species issues. With the choke species thing, we encourage options that would allow industry that use cameras to target healthy stocks without exhausting their allocations of chokes quotas, and so provide that data that would better inform science and management. And there was a bunch of options put up to us, including things labelled a haul pass type thing, or ways of generating like snippets of quota that could be used to allow that to occur and for the fishermen to be able to provide that sort of information without penalty. Then also continue to develop the more longer-term improvements in electronic monitoring, but be cognizant of all the work that's going on elsewhere in this space. And there's a fair bit going on, like making video review automatic, and also rapid advances in data transmission and storage, and storage that can occur now, where with satellite technologies and cellular as well as Wi-Fi technologies. Then, once step four, the electronic reporting implementation has become routine for a while. We think that it need, as I said at the start, you need to have this sort of electronic reporting fairly routine and people used to it, not just the fishing industry, but also the agencies that use the data. Then bring in the rollout of electronic monitoring over the top of that. And so you'd end up linking those systems into one ongoing system that should be able to handle additional technological innovations as they occur. And they will occur fast over the next few years. And finally, while all that's occurring, while all those previous nine steps are going on, we think that it's important to have an outreach and education program about electronic reporting and electronic monitoring in order to gain support and ownership of the whole process by all those stakeholders in the region. So that's all I had to say, and we're open for questions and comments, which will probably be answered by Mark.
Thank you very much, Dr. Connelly. Any questions or comments from the council members first? Dr. McKenzie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for your presentation. What do you see as the council's role in this? How can we lead, facilitate, enable this process? You differentiate between electronic monitoring and electronic reporting, which is a differentiation that hasn't come up in conversation often. I think that's a really key distinction. How can this council help bring that about more effectively?
I'm sort of not, you know, I'm not from around here, so I don't know exactly what the powers are or not of the council. I'm not terribly familiar with that. So I apologise for that because I don't come from here. But I do think that, I mean, at a basic level, the responsibility for reporting and managing stocks and monitoring stocks is a government role by, as I said before, not flippantly either. Since ownership of public resources was given over to government in 465 AD, it's been the case that governments have that responsibility on behalf of the public and own that resource. So that's where I see the leadership coming from in terms of what you guys do. I don't know whether Mark knows more about that, but I certainly don't know what tools you have available. But electronic reporting, you're right, electronic reporting is pretty different from electronic monitoring. They're different things. But they can be made to fuse together and provide a product that also removes the need for VMS and trip hails, and you can do phone calls with it and email and everything. It can all be parceled up into one system. And that's where things are heading. It's where it's occurring in various parts of the world now. And that... that to me is now, in terms of the council, sorry, I don't know how you work that. I'm not familiar enough with how you work to be able to tell you how to do your business. Sorry.
Yeah, and I also don't feel like I'm positioned to address the question of what role the council should take, but I would urge the council over the next couple of years to take advantage of any education and outreach efforts. I think there's probably a good amount of misunderstanding or just lack of understanding from the whole region, I think. I work in this stuff in the day-to-day, and I, through this process, we talked to 79 people, and a good portion of our time was educating and getting people up to speed. So if you're going to be thinking about these things and making decisions, it'd be great when the time comes for some outreach and education if we had a strong participation from the council.
Mr. Bellavance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Professor, for your report. I was interested in the way forward, the different approaches you had and different things that we might want to consider as we look towards the MNER. And in particular, I was wondering if through your investigation you determined if it would be appropriate to have a standardized set of reporting requirements across different agencies so that the states are reporting electronically the same way as a regional management body would request, or a federal agency or a federal science center or something like that, so that everybody's developing tools that talk in the same way, or if that would be something that would be outside the scope of this report. I wasn't sure if you thought of that at all.
This is a bit of a high-level report because it was done in pretty short time with fairly limited resources, so we didn't get too much into the weeds about this. But the message is, things should be as standardised as possible because, the data stream should be coming from various sources, whatever. For ease of analysis, they should be coming in as streamlined and as consistent as possible across all the providers of that information. And that's just the general sort of logical, obvious thing that would occur in any sort of data-based, data-orientated, data-driven management scheme. And you don't want different sorts of information coming from for example, the recreational sector or from the commercial sector, you don't want different types of stuff coming in. I mean, sure, it's going to come in differently, and it might come in different ways, but the basic data that you need, you're trying to come up with estimates of catchability, you're trying to come up with estimates of biomass and so on, so that, you know, just for ease of analysis, it should be as consistent as possible. Now, how to do that, how to get to that place, would be up to some sort of oversight group to encourage that sort of consistency, so that everybody sort of knows what page they're playing on and try to stay on the same page. Yeah.
And to speak one step further on that, streamlining, I think, is something we heard across the board, especially from the fishing industry. Reducing any duplicate efforts was strongly voiced from the fishing community. So the system we envision is a system that incorporates electronic monitoring, electronic reporting, VMS, into one kind of slick system. And I think that will also create efficiencies for the agency as well.
Mr. Papalotto.
Yeah, thank you for your presentation. Given what you know about the software and hardware where we are today, what's a realistic timeline for the process you've talked about to play out, ER and then maybe EM?
Well, we think, like, it's silly to talk any further than 5 years out, but this stuff is really doable within, I think the ER thing should be within 12 months. I mean, it's no reason why that group couldn't be formed, yeah, sooner, like pretty soon. And then and the ER technology is out there. It's not difficult to get those sort of web-based apps up and developed. I mean, there's companies falling over themselves to develop those apps, and they are cheap these days. They are cheap. There's software engineers in India who are just doing this stuff like almost for free, and they pluck and play different aspects of things into the system that you require. So that's pretty quick. And then, but more importantly, that the rate limiting step will be getting the data streams streamlined, for want of a better word, the use of the data getting incorporated into GARFO, into the Science Centre, into how it's used, and analytically how it's used to develop to incorporate into stock assessments, etc. That can take some time to try to get that better down and in place. And you're talking about a year or two for that, perhaps, before you start rolling in with a validation, the validation tools being the camera technology. So within sort of, you know, 3-4 years should be possible, and it's kind of, and there's no point in talking about what may or may not be possible in 5 or 6 years or 7 years, because we'll all be, who knows where we're going to be technologically in that time.
Anybody else from the council? Attorney Edry.
I'm just curious, in your conversations, you mentioned that a lot of fishermen are interested in removing the duplication and streamlining, and I know that that came out a lot from the industry perspective when the agency did their data visioning project, and we've gotten a few updates since then on what the agency is doing, but I'm just kind of curious how much, when you guys were doing this, you looked at that data visioning project and some of the outcomes from that, and to see, I'm unclear, I know Barry Clifford has come and presented on a few things, but where the agency is going with that project, but how that could maybe fill in some of the placeholders or recommendations you guys made. I don't know how much you looked into that or not.
We did look into it, and we worked with Barry Clifford pretty closely on this. The scales of these two projects are quite different. That's a pretty large overarching project, and this is a couple month get it done quickly kind of deal. That being said, I think there's a strong blend between some of the recommendations that we suggest and the work that's being done by Barry and his team. And several of the steps that we mention are already occurring. These aren't like these aren't novel ideas. So they're wrapped up in the data visioning project. We are really focusing on just electronic monitoring and electronic reporting, where the visioning project has a much broader scale. So I guess we're a little more finite in our approach.
Follow-up?
Not so much a follow-up, but just an additional question. You mentioned when you were talking with the industry, there was a lot of misinformation, so you were talking about education. I'm kind of curious if you include in the misinformation category the fact that we're still unclear how, you know, with electronic monitoring, I think that it's a great tool and it has potential, but we don't know how we use it yet. So we don't know what data we need to, you know, people will say electronic monitoring will improve stock assessments, but really the devil's in the details. So we've never gotten to that level of detail of what you'd have to collect, how you would have to collect it. So is that the type of misinformation that you're talking about? Or are you saying more in the general complete misinformation? Because I think there's two different sides to the equation. The devil's in the details, so industry doesn't really know how it could improve stock assessments because we haven't gotten to the details. And then there's just way misinformation out there. I'm just kind of curious how you distinguish between the two.
Just quickly, I don't think we use the term misinformation. Like, I don't think anyone's, it's not misinformed. It's just like not well informed about the benefits and what these things can and cannot achieve. They're limited in a lot of respects. They're not limited in other respects. And it wasn't just fishermen. It was like a lot of the scientists we spoke to, that, you know, we spent a lot of time in those interviews where we'd spend 10, 15, 20 minutes telling them what this stuff does. And, oh, really? Yeah, you can do that. You can do lengths with it, blah, 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 things like that. So in terms of this clarifying, it's not misinformation, it's just a lack of knowledge about it. I mean, it's easy for people who dealt with this stuff for the last 5 years or watched it develop over the last 10 or 12 years. And it's not because people are being misinformed, I think. It's just that they're not as aware as and hence the need for some sort of education program, just for people to be up to come up to speed on this stuff, you know? Is that so?
Yeah, and from my experience, the key to success or failure of an electronic monitoring program is the program design, how the pieces fit together and what you're trying to accomplish. And I felt we spent a fair amount of time with industry, agency, NGOs, all the groups, explaining the program design behind the two projects that are focused on groundfish right now. And getting people to understand that, well, then I believe it's allowing them to think that next step of, all right, this is how the data is being collected, this is the plan. Now how can we use it? It's tough for people to figure out how to use the data if they're not quite sure on the methods of the collection.
Dr. Sisselwine, then we're going to go out to the audience.
Yes, I mean, you talked about moving forward with, I think the phrase was a strategic plan for electronic monitoring, or approach this strategically. And that to me raises a bit of a chicken and egg question. You know, is the electronic monitoring driving the design of the program and the requirements for monitoring, or do we need the design of the program and how it addresses our various needs for science, compliance, monitoring, and enforcement first, and then determine to what degree the technologies can serve it? I think we're in a point in time where the technology is moving so fast that we probably need to be doing both of those simultaneously in some sort of linked way. And you know, I think you'd have to be burying your head in the sand not to agree that this is the future and that we really do need to make the investment. So I thank you for your presentation. I mean, clearly this council isn't going to be the technology innovator. And I agree with your comment that really there has to be leadership out of government for this. But it's clear that in order for the technology to match the monitoring requirements, this council has to be strategic in its design of the monitoring system as it's embedded within FMPs, and do that with complete awareness of what the technology options are. And I hope we can proceed to do that.
Yeah, I would suggest that the council and the agency decide what they want out of an improved monitoring system. And then think of EM as a potential tool to accomplish that. It's one tool in a toolbox.
Can I go to the audience for? Okay, we'll come back. Out to the audience for any comments. Seeing none, back to the council, Mr. Reed.
Thank you, Dr. Chairman. As far as I'm concerned, it's all about the cost, and a component of cost is the review of the video. Now, Mr. Hughes pointed out yesterday that, you know, when we reviewed some of the footage from the pilot project, the review by a human exceeded the actual fishing time by, in my opinion, maybe four or five, a factor of four or five. it was 1,000 hours. I don't think the fishing time was anywhere near that. So my question is, you know, at what point can we say, instead of running the cameras 100% of the time from the time you leave the dock or the time you set in, or at what point can we identify what that window is of actual, you know, turn the cameras on to reduce the amount of footage that has to be reviewed by a human, because that cost, you know, is not going to go down. And to me, it's all about the cost. Forget about the cameras and all that other crap. It's the review is what's really going to cost you a lot of money. And if we have to run them 100% of the time, it's a big number. If we can run them 3% of the time, it's a different number. So at what point can we figure out what the optimum?
Great question. There's a fair bit of effort in the region for activity recognition. And that's one type of machine learning. And that is to do exactly what you just described, is identify when there's video of value to watch. NIFWF has just funded a couple projects that are looking into that this year. Preliminary results on that kind of work around the world is very encouraging. And I would like to speak to the, are you watching four times, are you taking four times as long to watch what actually occurred? And the projects that I am working on, we obviously have to be held to some pretty strict budgets on these things, and we're seeing more of either a one-to-one or less than the amount of fishing time that actually takes to review the video and the groundfish projects. And a lot of where you get that from is program design. So you have to be very strategic in how you design it. And, you know, if you're going to create a program where you have to watch every inch of every piece of video very closely, then the costs are going to be pretty high.
In an audit type, most of the applications of electronic monitoring and camera technology throughout the world, it's been as an audit tool, just to where the real data that you're interested in is coming from the EVTRs or from the VTRs, and the camera stuff's just used as a tool to validate that. And the normal thing is around 10% of the footage is looked at random. So the fishermen go, okay, 10% of the time at random they're going to look at my stuff, so therefore I should be reporting accurately all the time to avoid being caught out, if you like, in not reporting accurately. And it's just that threat. It's just the threat of 10%. Is it 10%? Is it 5%? Is it 15% or 50%? And it comes down to driving, for example, if you're driving on the road and getting caught by a cop, you know, at what point do you take that risk? And normally, in other parts of the world, it ends up being around about 10%. And it reduces that cost of video review down a lot. And also, you don't need to turn the cameras on as soon as you're leaving the port. You can turn on when the net drum, you know, have sensors to turn the cameras on when the net drum's starting and stopping and things like that to reduce the overall amount of footage.
Mr. Pentney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the report. There's obviously a lot here for us to think about and work towards. But I do have a question because I'm trying to understand some of your recommendations based on the concerns that you raised or identified under the electronic reporting aspect. And I note that a lot of the concerns and limitations that you identified for electronic reporting are based on your review and understanding of the SAFIS system, which then led to a recommendation for this group to develop, which I interpret as meaning we need something new for electronic reporting, when in fact we have six right now certified EVTR programs. So I'm just trying to reconcile that fact with that we have a variety of EVTR programs and applications available to the industry. SAFIS is but one, but it seems like most of the limitations and concerns you raised were really just focused on limitations and concerns with SAFIS rather than the broader universe of applications that are currently available.
Our concerns were not SAFIS, it was around the Flounders programs, which to date has provided, we're told, has provided the vast majority of the data from EVTRs has come from that system. And whilst there's six available, we were told that I think only three have actually, so we're talking about what was available to us at the time. Only three, I think, had been actually used for the commercial groundfish fishery anyway in providing data. The other three hadn't yet, but they're getting rolled out. and the vast majority has come from the flameless one. So that's the one we've looked at. And in terms of the safest E-trip thing, we're just saying that that's an example of the sort of thing that could be developed. And we're saying that, you know, there's probably, that it wouldn't be a very hard stretch to come up with an app, a web app that could do this thing pretty slickly. I guess that's what we're saying, yeah.
Mr. Pendy.
Yeah, just to follow up. I guess that's the thing I'm trying to understand is if we're going to, you know, in a world of limited and declining resources to put forward towards developing new applications, if there are applications out there, and I misspoke. Flounders was obviously the subject of your primary concerns, but you know, E-trips, mobile, developed through the SAFER system, and then you know, as we acknowledge, there's others out there. If there are other programs out there, I'm not sure it makes sense for us to apply our limited resources to developing yet another system, rather than just doing a better job, maybe of education and promotion of the systems that are currently developed, currently certified, and meet all the requirements that we would want to ensure are out there.
Absolutely.
I'll let Dr. Sissonwine have the last word, then we're going to wrap up this section.
Okay. Thank you. Your comment about typically looking at 10% of the tapes for enforcement purposes is precisely what the agency does. I don't know that it's exactly 10%, they probably wouldn't want to say, but some small proportion for enforcement purposes in the highly migratory species, pelagic longline monitoring. I thought it was worth mentioning that there's a project going on in this region right now, funded, I guess, by the state of Massachusetts as part of the Marine Fisheries Institute at SMAST, that's looking at open cod end surveys. And part of that involves the development of technology for the purpose of automated analysis of video to identify fish and even size fish. Now, I mean, that's a long way from operational and so forth, but I mention it because some of the needs here of processing video are multi-purpose. They might not only be for you know, this sort of monitoring of fishing operations. They might serve purposes in research modes and a lot of other things. So, I mean, that's something to be considered as to whether there ought to be a broad, focused investment in basically the technology for processing video and pattern recognition. At one time, the agency had a very large program oriented towards processing plankton samples, automated plankton sampling, and automated processing of plankton samples. And that had some success. I don't know where it stands nowadays, but, you know, work has been done in this area.
To add to that, the groups that the current folks working on electronic monitoring automation are working with are the same groups that are working with SMAST. So there's definitely some synergy there. And there's lots of things before you even get to the step where you're actually trying to ID a fish or count a fish, the data processing and the crunching of the video that can be happening for both those projects in tandem.
Just on that, Mike, there's a thing, I'm not sure you probably heard about this thing in Norway, that the Norwegians have got this thing where they've got these cameras down at the cod end. And it can identify the fish coming down towards there and open up gates to go, you know, have the cod go that way. And as each thing's identified, now it's being used as a scientific tool, but the idea was developed for the fishing industry to be able to partition their catch, and it's pretty high tech, but it's for the Norwegians are all over that, yeah.
Sure, if it's quick, because we had the public comment period prior, but. Okay.
All right. I think the whole thing is ridiculous myself, you know. My name is Roger Brisson, fishing vessel Miss Molly, fish out of Gloucester, hand gear, air permit. This is totally ridiculous. I mean, somebody's paranoid here somewhere. Camera, you know, before I go fishing, I got to call in the system. I got to call when I come back, answer all kinds of questions. I got to file a daily report. Most of us fishermen are pretty honest people, trustworthy. It's insulting to me when I see all this stuff going on. I think we should turn the clock the other way and work on some trust issue with fishermen so we don't get insulted. I've been fishing for over 40 years, you know, and all this stuff to me is ridiculous. When I leave the dog on my boat, I want to go fishing. I fish alone on my boat. I'm like a dog. I like to be alone. That's my life. And now all this stuff is coming about, and cameras on top of that. I think you guys should just cram the whole thing. You get to the dock, you got a guy that counts your fish, and you can't sell more than than your permit allows you to catch. By the way, I got a 300-pound hangar air permit. I'm reduced to 25 pounds a day now. I can't fish anymore. I'm out of work. Hangar air permit. See, if you guys ever look at that, we catch less than 1% over the years, less than 1% of the total landing of the codfish. So they appreciate to give us a little break on the codfish for the hangar A. That's it.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Dr. Cannelli, Mr. Hager. Appreciate the briefing. And we're going to take a 15-minute break and then go on to our next agenda item. Be back at 11:30. Thank you.